This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a beautiful day out. Everybody needs to get out, go to the golf course, go to the shop, build something. Let's see, go to the beauty shop. What else could they do? Go to breakfast.
Oh.
That's always a great deal, isn't it?
Oh,
go
yes.
to breakfast on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We did that last Saturday, and it was wonderful.
Really?
Yes. We went to Saturday breakfast. The little children had all kinds of things. It was a wonderful experience.
Oh, yes.
And I hadn't done that in a long time.
No.
But, you know, Saturdays are such a fun day anyway. You've got the whole day. You know, you can stay in bed late. I never have been able to do that, but it sounds good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
It's something I would like to do.
Strive for that. But there's so many things. You know, a lot of people get up and go have coffee with each other. That's always a good thing. Talk things over. Have coffee with your wife.
Yeah.
Have breakfast with your wife. Because lots of times during the week, I'm going to tell a secret here. I see all these men at the drive-thrus at McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. They're having breakfast on the go.
Oh,
Their
yeah.
wives are not cooking breakfast. I'm going to tell you that.
No.
I didn't realize. It's a big deal. Women are not cooking breakfast for their husbands anymore. They're not having breakfast together. The men are out there, you know, going to the drive-in before they go to work.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Years ago, I had this friend, and his wife told him, said, "You're just too fat. I'm going to put you on a diet." So, you know, he knew he was on a diet. He wasn't supposed to eat. And he knew that when he went home that night, she was going to have salad and all this for him to eat, and he was going to starve. He stopped by the drive-in and had two hamburgers before he went home. And she wondered why he wasn't losing weight on her diet. You know, this old boy had outfoxed her so bad. You know, he was stopping somewhere every night and having something good.
Oh, wow.
And then go home and eat that little bit of salad and pretend like it was fine.
Well, I can see that. You're not going to get full on salad, so you better get full before you have supper or else you're
That's
going to
right.
bed hungry.
Yeah, before you get home. And I thought it was so funny. She never figured it out. She didn't know why he wasn't losing weight on her diet. And he was just having a great time before he came home. Oh, man. So I don't know how long it lasted. I think she gave up.
Oh,
figured he
wow.
wasn't, you know, he wasn't losing any weight anyway, so it didn't matter.
He's sneaking in some lunch or some supper on the way home in between suppers.
Yeah, in between supper. Heck of a deal.
Wow.
And, you know, there's just so many things you can do on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, you can go for a drive. As I said, you can go to the golf course. There's just a lot of things a person can do.
Whoa,
and like if there's something you need that you've waited a month to buy, you know, you can go to the tack shop. You can go to the Bass Pro Shop. There's just a lot of things you can do. And a lot of men just go and shop. You know, they don't really need it, but they think they do.
Well, yeah.
And they'll go to Lowe's and see what they can buy there. Have you ever noticed these big places like that are always full?
Oh, yes. Yes. You have to go and see what the latest things are.
That's right. What have they come out with that you've just got to have? The newest electrical motor or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, you know, everybody's planting flowers right now, and flowers are beautiful. But Home Depot has the best flowers of anybody.
Really?
I put them up against everybody. Their flowers are a lot less. They don't cost as much, and they are gorgeous. There's a flower this year that I bought called Rio. And they come in pink and red. And they're for drought-stricken climates, which that takes in Midland, you know. And they're a great flower. And, you know, we have so many flowers that are grown down at Giddens, Texas, South Texas. And then they distribute them, you know, up here and all over the state. And a lot of people don't realize that. These flowers are all grown somewhere else and then brought to Lowe's, to Home Depot, all kinds of places. But it's a wonderful time to be planting all your flowers before it gets too hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to get them in. And,
yeah, you do.
You know, Saturday's a good day to do it because, you know, geez, it's the first day out of the last five that you can actually slow down, take your time, because, you know, Monday through Friday, it's hustle, hustle, hustle. We got to get on it. We got things to do. Got to get stuff done. But now on the Saturday, you know, and even on Sunday, you can kind of relax a little bit, take your time. Like you say, start out with some good breakfast and then go to the store, pick out some flowers, take them home, spend the afternoon, you know, planting them, do whatever you do. Just kind of take it easy. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And everybody loves gardening. They love putting flowers in. There's just so much fun things a person can do. Because the one thing about flowers, when you get through, they look so great. They're so pretty that it's worth the time it takes to, you know, to get them in the ground.
Yeah.
And right now is planting season. Everybody needs to get with it, get their flowers in. Now, used to, I know they would be talking about the farmers getting all their crops in, you know, early spring, getting them planted. But now there's not near as many farms as there used to be. So now people are doing flowers, they're doing gardening. I can remember when they had the old tillers. Do you remember those old tillers?
Oh,
that
yes.
You walked behind?
Yes.
Where you could plant the garden. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. We did it every year, religiously.
Yeah, everybody did. And the kids would go out there with mama and, you know, they had their little burpee seed packets. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff would be planted. If it was a root vegetable, didn't matter what kind. You know, you were getting out there and getting all this done, whether it was potatoes or the carrots or the onions. And everybody grew their own food. And that's I think a lost tradition.
Yeah.
I think everybody just goes to H-E-B and grabs all those beautiful vegetables and walks out. What do you think?
After paying, of course.
Oh, yes. That's what I mean.
You know, it seems like when we were kids, when they would kind of teach us about planting and seeds and things like that, we would start by planting them in some dirt inside like a styrofoam cup until it kind of started to sprout a little bit. And then we would transplant it to like outside into a special area in the garden where that was kind of like marked off so that you didn't till it up or step on it or dig it up by mistake. You would kind of watch it grow in that own little section.
Well, and everybody's children usually has a little place to plant their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, back then, you had the children's garden and then the real garden. And little kids could plant all whatever they wanted to and watch it grow and tend to it and keep the weeds out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big thing. Nobody would have a vegetable garden with weeds in it. It had to be kept clean. And then you had to water it. There was all kinds of steps to getting to the food. I mean, you know, that's just the way it was. And nowadays, a lot of children have no idea where food comes from. Did you know that?
Yeah,
they think it all just comes from the grocery store. You know, they haven't seen it grow. They don't know about all these things.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have never even seen a cow.
Really?
I think a lot of city kids have never seen anything up close.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah. Country kids have seen everything. You know, they know how things are made. But city kids, it's just, it's all a dream to them.
It's something that happens in the movie.
That's right. And they don't know how everything got here, but they like eating it. They like ice cream, all these things. But it comes off a shelf at the grocery store.
Yeah, I bet people don't make homemade ice cream like they used to either. We used to do it every summer, a couple of times, really, starting Memorial Day.
Well, and we used to have ice cream socials.
Yeah.
Where everybody brought a different kind of ice cream and you ate some of everybody's ice cream.
Mm.
Now, doesn't that sound like fun?
Boy, I forgot about ice cream socials. Man, those were
awesome. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was. And you, everybody made a different kind, and you know who had the best, and you sampled it all.
Yeah, it was all homemade, and that's always the best. Man.
Can you imagine we're taking everybody back 40 years?
I know it. Goodness. I'm entitled now to go out and get an ice cream maker because we lost ours, but now I want to go get one and make some homemade ice cream.
Well, of course, you love ice cream as much as I do, so
yeah.
I can't imagine you being without an ice cream freezer.
Oh, no. It won't stay this way for very long. I can promise
that. Good. Because, yes, I had one, too. But mine was the kind that you plug in the wall. It was electric and did all the turning, all that. But now, like you say, they've got the kind you set on the cabinet. You put all the ingredients in. Plug it in, and a little bit, you've got ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. Back when we started, we had the hand crank ones, and so you'd have to go outside because you'd make a mess, and then you'd put it in the thing, and then you'd have to, they would make us, because we were children, and that was part of our thing, is we had to sit there and crank it while the adults watched and laughed at us. But we would crank the ice cream by hand, and then they'd pour some more rock salt around it, and then we'd crank it some more, and then put some more ice in it and crank it some more. Oh, it was a long process, and man, our arms were about to fall off. They don't do that anymore.
It took about an hour, I think, as well as I remember, to make ice cream.
Yeah.
It took a long time.
Man.
But gosh, when you got it ready, it was great.
Oh, those were the good old days. You'd have to work for it. And so when it was ready, yeah, it was great. But you're like, yeah, I turned this thing for like an hour. I'm ready. I deserve some of this.
You wanted to be the first one to get some ice cream.
Yeah. Man, no doubt. Those were the good old days. We should bring those things back. We should have ice cream social on Saturdays.
That's right. We should bring a lot of things back. Do you realize everybody's going to forget everything about all the old days and the good things because it's a modern world.
Yeah.
It is so modern, people don't even think about things like that. They just think, what can I get on the run? Can I get it quick? Instant gratification now.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way.
Family recipes don't get passed down like they used to either. They just kind of get lost.
No. Yeah. And used to, everybody got grandma's recipes when she died.
Oh, yes.
You know, or your aunt's recipes. And everybody knew which one made the best things. And you were hoping you would get those when they passed away.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got them on the little cards that they would write them down on.
I still have a box of cards.
Yeah.
I got them in Darazette, Texas. I was up there doing some insurance for some people, and these ladies from this church were selling these recipes, and it was in a little tin box.
Wow.
And I bought them, and they're great recipes. I've used them for 30 or 40 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, they had the best recipes. Darazette, Texas. I'll never forget them.
Wow, that is cool. Look at us getting all nostalgic on a Saturday morning.
I can't imagine us getting nostalgic this early in the day on Saturday.
I know it.
What's wrong with us this morning?
Oh, it's a nice trip down memory lane, that's for sure. But if we don't talk about money, somebody's going to get mad, and they're going to call you. They're going to say, Faye, you didn't say
they're gonna
a word.
They're going to call and say, Faye, you better get on with money, because that's what we've got with you is our money, and we want you to talk about our money.
Exactly.
And they're right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we with money?
Well, we've got three policies that we were awarded this week. We're waiting on the contracts. As soon as we get the contracts, we'll have people in them. We'll be on the go to make money on these. They're great policies. Got very, very low premiums, less than 1%.
Really?
So it doesn't matter what happens. It's not going to cost you any money. So these are great policies. Everybody's going to like them. We're going to make money on them. And I think it's a good thing. We're still waiting on a couple of policies that have matured. They should be at the bank shortly. Let's see. What else can we talk about that pertaining to that? seems like right now we've had several maturities. We'll find out this next week what other maturities might be lurking out there. Sometimes, as you know, we don't hear about them right away. Sometimes we know about them in 2 or 3 days. Sometimes we don't until the family or somebody tells us if we don't locate them on our tracker. As you know, we're tracking policies every day, but it's hard to get all of them. And we're trying to do that all the time, make sure that we know when all the maturities happen and get right on it to get people their money, because that's what they want. They want to get paid. The stock market was way, way down this week. Did you notice that?
I saw that, yes.
I mean, really down. I mean, oil was down to 100, but the S&P was down a huge amount. The Dow was down to 33,000 and something. I mean, it had lost a couple hundred points. So the stock market is doing what we talk about, seesawing back and forth. The deal in Ukraine is causing a lot of it. Uncertainty is causing it. And that's what we like about our investment. There's not that uncertainty like with the stock market. It's just radical right now. It just drops and drops. And then sometimes it goes back up and sometimes it doesn't. Elon Musk buying Twitter this week was a big deal.
Yes. What, $49 billion, I think?
Yes, and he's going to restore it to where anybody can have free speech on it. Can you imagine free speech in America?
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? I mean, people have been suppressing it for a couple of years now. So I think that will help. Some of the other big companies lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I believe Netflix was the one that lost the most.
Yes, I think it was the first time in history that Netflix actually reported a loss. It was the first time ever. So, yeah, that's gonna
cause
some people.
And it was a huge loss.
Yeah.
It cost a lot of people a lot of money when it went down. And there was a lot of other companies that went down, and that it just took everybody's earnings right on down. So I don't know when it'll recover or if it'll get back up, but it's very nerve-wracking to people that are in the stock market that every day or two it's whipsawing, this way, then whipsawing the other way. They can't be sure of anything.
Yeah.
Earnings, they can't be sure they'll get all their money back. We don't know, how that's going to end up. A lot of people said, we will have a depression over this. And inflation is higher than it's been in years. Look how high gas is right now.
Mm, yeah.
And, and the administration said, oh, we're going to help you. We'll let 1 million gallons out every day. That's nothing in our country.
Yeah.
1 million gallons won't even touch anything.
Yeah. I've also heard some things about, and this was just, I caught faint tracings of this the other day, that they were talking about, gas and oil and things going back and forth to and from like countries like Poland, which would not only affect them, but, it seems like it's almost kind of like a ripple effect that may happen like around the world. So it's not just necessarily our economy that would be affected by this whole thing, the situation in Ukraine, and all the sanctions and things that come with that. But it seems like global markets like around the world are also being affected. And when things happen on that scale, it seems like there could be, your chances for that safety net to kind of, the European market is doing fine, so we'll bounce back. It seems like if all the markets start to go down, there could be some situations on probably a larger scale than maybe what people are maybe expecting. Yes, maybe no.
Well,
I'm not really sure.
If we were allowed to drill everything we need to drill, there would be plenty of oil and gas here. The prices would go back down a little bit. We wouldn't be having all these problems. But as the XL pipeline was stopped. There's another pipeline they're trying to stop, and all the drilling in our federal lands, they did not allow them to go back and drill in Alaska. Alaska is mostly frozen land, and just the caribou live up there in Alaska in some parts, and they don't want us to drill in Alaska. I don't understand that at all. And then only 80% of the other federal lands Can you even drill them right now?
Really?
And the Saudis, who have a tremendous amount of oil, as you know, the administration called them, wanted them to send us oil. Now, that is just, it's asinine. And did you know the Saudis hung up on them? They go, you know, enough, away, you know, away with you people. You know, don't come to us. They know the United States has got plenty of oil, and that all we have to do is drill. And there's more drilling permits this month than in a long, long time. It made the news. There were so many drilling permits in the Permian Basin.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. So lots and lots of people are drilling. All your large companies have got a tremendous presence out there. The smaller ones are participating, too. So this should help the economy. Everybody's involved in drilling in some way, you know. Maybe not direct, but they have some company that does business with them. So it's good for the economy. It should get things back up. A lot of the restaurants, the problem is, and the restaurants are having, is getting help.
Yeah.
They can go to the oil patch. City employees are leaving. They can get more money in the oil patch. So this happened before, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
The cities lost a lot of employees because they could make more money in the oil patch than they could make at the city. So they're quitting their jobs. And a lot of restaurants are having to close. They don't have enough help. They can't get enough help to operate.
Yeah.
So restaurants are really being affected right now. And then a lot of new restaurants, which I'm shocked, are coming to Texas from other states.
Really?
I mean, I would think restaurants are iffy anyway. But a lot of them are coming to Fort Worth and Dallas. I've been reading about all these I never even heard of are moving to Texas.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm so, of course, Fort Worth and Dallas, the economy, as you know, is strong. I mean, really strong. A lot of the companies from out of state are starting new housing developments. There is a $1 billion project over here at Lake Grapevine. It's going to be a 16-story high rise.
Really?
Right over here at Grapevine. Can you imagine?
Wow.
This little country place is going to have a high rise condo project.
Wow.
Right on the lake. It said it'd be a $1 billion project.
Boy, that sounds fancy.
It is. It's fancy. And I don't know who's going to buy there, but I think it'll be out-of-towners, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody over here, you know, usually lives in just a regular house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a $1 billion project.
Wow.
And, yeah, and there's a lot of out-of-state companies. They've been buying office buildings downtown. They've been buying up land for warehouses. Everything in the world's been announced lately. So the economy in Texas is very strong, probably more so than anywhere in the world. There's more money, I think, made here right now. And we don't have the union problems that other people have. You know, Starbucks, all these people are unionizing. And, you know, when you do that in a small shop like that, before you know, it won't be profitable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they can't, once you become unionized, you can't touch all these things. You can only touch, like a waitress, I probably cannot take the trash out then.
Yeah.
Just certain duties you can do because it's a union shop.
Yeah, if somebody,
I've
if there's like a.
People tell me that.
Like a tool that's on the floor, somebody maybe dropped something, you can't just go pick it up and put it away. You've got to notify somebody else, and then they've got to come over and get it. It's very structured. Yeah, very different.
It is so structured. And time you pay all those union dues, all that money you thought you were going to gain, you're not, because it's going to go to the union.
Yeah.
And then they're going to tell you what to do. They're going to tell you how much you have to pay, how much you have to contribute. So, you know, I'm very dead set against that. I love the American way, where you pay what you can afford. If the people want to work for you, they do. And you make money, and they make money, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah. No doubt. You had mentioned the D word a couple minutes ago, depression. Do they say that might be on the horizon sometime in the future?
That's what they're saying. And, you know, these are economists. They're supposed to know what they're talking about. That doesn't mean they do. and they're saying that they think, there will be a depression because inflation is so high. Things are going up so much. And then you can't get things. Everybody's talking about clothes. It's, a lot of things you just can't buy right now because everything is stuck somewhere on the ocean or at the ports, and they can't get them to Texas. I know Belk said at Christmas, lots of things they just couldn't get. Then at Easter, there was a lot of things the stores couldn't get. So, you know, it affects the economy. When you've got something on the way, but you can't get it, it affects your bottom line a lot. So, and everybody's talking about everything is going to go to online. And it is an easy, easy way to shop.
It really
is. I don't know how much I buy at Amazon, but when I can't find something, the first thing I do is go to Amazon. They always have it. So how do they have it online, but you can't get it at the store?
That's
so it affects
question.
The economy. That's why I'm glad we're in the business we're in. We have no inventory. We don't have to stock anything. Money being made this way is just a lot safer, I think, because we buy policies. The insurance company is going to pay off. We know that. We don't have any doubt about that. I'd rather have the insurance company paying us than us going out here and selling a product. And waiting on it. And waiting to get the product, you know, and having a big store where you're doing this. So other than dogs and children, I think we're in the best thing.
You're right. The pet industry is a billion-dollar industry. They come
out
with
any doubt,
and it's all stuff that most people don't need, or dogs.
That's right. You want it. You want the toys for your dog. You want the food for him. You want the pretty little jackets for him. Max has two jackets for winter.
Really?
I don't know if he needs them, but you know it's cold out in the winter. He is going out, and so when I talk about money, I'm talking about the fact. What is going to make money?
Yeah.
You know, an insurance policy on people that have cancer, most of them are going to die. I was just reading how many cases of cancer this week went undetected. It was in the news. These people had colon cancer. And the first one, the doctor assured them, there's not anything wrong with you. We've ran the test. You're fine. And now they have stage 3 colon cancer.
Really?
You know, and the other one, the lady went and she was in the testing place, and the guy told her, I've got the test back. You look good. I don't think there's anything wrong with you. And now she's going to die. There's something wrong with these doctors all of a sudden. They're not diagnosing cancer when they should be. If they did, they could save lives, especially if it was just stage 1 or stage 2. But by the time now we're finding it, it's already stage 3. So, you know, if you think there's something wrong with you and your stomach has been hurting for a while or your back, go to a specialist and say, you know, would you check me out? I think we need to run tests. I've got this backache. It's been hurting for months. And don't believe everybody when they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Just take a pain pill and go away.
Yeah.
You are sick and you need to do something about it. You know, we know our bodies. This is what's bad. We know our bodies. We know when there's something wrong. But yet they're going to these doctors and they're convincing them there's nothing wrong. And then by the time you find out from a specialist, it's almost too late.
What?
So I recommend that people always go to somebody, not just a local doctor. Go to somebody that knows what they're talking about. Have them run the test and look at your insides and see what's wrong.
You think it's just that, you know, maybe they're overworked and not paying enough attention? What do you think causes all that?
I think that they're not paying attention to the people and just saying, oh, I think they're all right. I believe they're all right. And I know someone that was diagnosed with breast cancer this week.
Oh, no.
And she's a nurse. Yeah. And, you know, you would think a nurse would have caught this much earlier, but she didn't. And, you know, when she finally caught it, she went to the doctor, and, yes, she does have breast cancer. And, you know, I don't know what deal she will do, but if it was my breast and I had it, I would do radiation before I did anything, try to get it a little bit, shrink it down a little bit, and then I'd just have it taken off, you know?
Yeah.
And people won't do that. They want to mess around and do all this other. And the time they do, all this is spread, is gone in the lymph nodes, and then it is too late. That's why we have so many people die of breast cancer and colon cancer. And the ones that are being misdiagnosed right now is colon cancer. They're just flat misdiagnosing it, and it's going to cost a lot of people their lives. So I encourage you to have a colonoscopy if you're 45 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And used to, it was much later before they recommended a colonoscopy.
Yeah, they've dropped the age on that, haven't they? Like significantly,
they have
like
dropped
5 years?
The age on it because, yes, because there's so many people ending up with colon cancer. And none of us knows for sure what causes all this, but it is really prevalent right now, and they need to get on it before they get it or get it in early stages. So when we buy a policy, what we're looking for is how many treatments they've had, how bad it is, how long ago they found out the diagnosis, have they done a resection, was the resection successful? And a lot of them you cannot resect. You know, pancreatic, that's one of the few things. If you cannot resect it, they cannot save you. If it's already in the lymph nodes, if it's spread, if it's in, like, if it's in the liver, if it's in the pancreas, you know, lots of times it starts up here in the colon, then it spreads to the other parts. And if you've got lymph nodes all over that's got it, you probably aren't going to survive. And then there is people who do survive, and then it comes back. It can go in remission. I'm not going to say it isn't, because sometimes it does. But most of the ones that we've done, it has not went into remission. We have had one go in remission, and we've read about it, and it says that usually if it goes in remission on this type of cancer, they won't live but 2 years. That it'll come back within those 2 years.
Wow.
This is a new testing company that we've been using that tells us this. And they do every type of testing in the world to know what the odds are of you surviving each type of cancer. So that's a good thing to know. The policies that we buy, we're trying to buy them, as you know, not over 30 months. And I love it when they're 28 months, 20 months, because usually they're not going to survive if it's 20 months.
Yeah. And you've also got the new doctor on staff, too.
Yes.
With another set of eyes.
Yes. We're doing as many eyes on the ground as we can because we've had some go over. We've had some go long, and they shouldn't have, and they did. And so the doctors missed something, or maybe they didn't miss anything. Maybe the cancer just took a turn. You know, doctors are not infallible, but they will predict how long you're going to live, and usually they're pretty close. Usually they're within 12 months of being right. You know, we've had a lot of them that came in really early that we weren't expecting. Then a lot of them are maybe a month or two, 3 months late, and then we've had some that have gone a couple, 3 years over. So we're trying to get it where that it's a better science. We're spending a lot of money on doctors to tell us and to get it right. And people have had a lot. We've had 10 million maturities in the last few months. That's a lot.
Wow.
But we still need a lot more maturities. You know, 10 million is a good amount, but we still need a lot more because getting the people their interests, that's what we're here for, to make them money, whether they've already retired or whether they're going to retire. That's what we're here for, is to make them money, to do it safely, and to learn everything we can about cancer before it happens, you know? And so that's our goal every day, is to do the best we can get the people their money, make them some money, and make them more than we made them the year before. So we're taking every precaution. We're trying to get it to where it is perfected, and you can't perfect anything completely. You know that.
Yeah.
But when we buy these policies, they know what they're going to make. They know they're going to make 1% a month, if it's 30 months, if it's 20 months, whatever it is. And then we're escrowing extra every time for them, where that, if unless it goes a year over, it won't cost anything. Then the final deal is to get those premiums down low enough that it won't matter if even if it goes over. And that's what we're working on every day right now, is low premium. And these are all low that we've just bought. I believe they'll come in pretty close to on time. I don't know of anything you can do that you have the assurances that you do on a life insurance policy, because you know that these life insurance companies are going to pay off. It's not like when you're in other investments, you don't know how it's going to come out. You don't know if they're going to pay you a tremendous amount of profit. You don't know what the management is of those companies. And with us, you know that the bank handles your money. That's, I think, the safest thing in the world. Nevada Trust is the trustee on all this. As you know, we've got 60 policies coming over from Bank of Utah. I thought when I agreed to do this, it would be simple. Well, we could do that in 2 weeks. We're still not through.
Wow.
I didn't know the ownership has to be changed. The beneficiaries have to be changed over to the new policy. There's layer after layer of papers they're demanding we get signed. We're having to sign papers with Bank of Utah, taking them off as trustee. And so we're not going to be through for another 3 or 4 weeks. Several people have called and said, I don't see my policies yet on the new company. They're not going to see them for probably 2 more weeks. The money came over easy. You don't have to substantiate cash. I mean, the cash moved over real easy. It's already in their accounts. But these policies are not showing up yet. I had 2 or 3 calls. People say, Faye, I don't see my policies. Well, they won't for a couple of weeks. So Nevada Trust has got everybody they've got working on this.
It's a very involved process.
We didn't know that. We thought it was just simple little deal. We can do this. It's very, very involved. They've got 2 or 3 officers and all the girls on it. So we, as soon as we get everything transferred, you'll know it, because it'll show up in your account. If it's a new account, we also had to set that up. If you already had accounts over there, we're just adding it to those accounts. But all the paperwork has to be right. They have to send notice to the insured company, and they have to sign off on this. They have to agree that the new trustee is Nevada Trust. So I never did anything this complicated. It is some kind of complicated, let me tell you. But it's worth it. We're going to get out of all those fees that we were paying at Bank of Utah. We should have done it a long time ago. They kept telling me we couldn't do it. Then I found out we could. We should have done this a couple of years back, because they do charge a lot of money. And they said anybody, by the way, that does not go ahead and transfer over to us, they're going to charge them, I mean, like $700.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because we're taking all the other things from them. And so they can't handle just 3 or 4 policies.
Wow.
And when they lose our business, they're going to stop handling this for anybody, by the way.
Really?
Because, they were making $50,000 a year off of me.
Oh, good Lord.
And, we were paying them $50,000 a year. And plus what the clients were paying. So once they found out they were going to lose all of our business, they said, we're going to close that part up. We're just not even going to do it anymore without us over there. I mean, you know, if you can't make $50,000, just don't bother.
Well, I can see why they try to hang on to you. They said you can't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
What you can.
And there's a few people we have not heard from, have not agreed to move their accounts, and they're going to find out it's going to cost them a ton of money.
Wow.
Because they don't want to do 3 or 4 people. They don't want to be responsible for 3 or 4. So when they find out what the new fees are, they're going to jump out of their skin.
Yeah, no doubt. So they're going to make it worth their while no matter what.
They are, and they're a tough people.
Yes.
You know, we used to have some really good officers over there. Then those officers left. formed their own company. And when they did, it made it tough because the new people coming in weren't as familiar with how all this works and with us. So I think it's better that we're making a change now. It hurts right now because of the paperwork. But once it's done, it's going to be a great deal because Nevada Trust knows us. They know how our clients work. They're Johnny on the spot. When our clients call them, they take the call. You know, you can talk to the president. You can talk to the vice president. It's that kind of company.
That's cool.
And it's not one of these that they never put you off. If they know the answer, they'll give it to you right then.
Cool.
So they're a great company. We really like them. They've been good to us. And we've been with them a long time. And they put up with all of us, you know, the good and the bad.
More good than bad.
More good than bad. Most of ours are 99%. It's that one guy, one guy that gives them trouble.
There's always one guy.
He gives us trouble. He gives them trouble. Yeah. And I would hate to be in his family because that family, I imagine, it's tough.
Oh, wow.
You know? He has filed complaints against 40 people.
Oh, really?
40 people. Oh, yeah, this guy is some kind of a nut.
Oh, wow.
And complaints against 40. I mean, they're all scratching their head.
Oh, my.
And said, this guy is out of his mind. And he probably is.
Oh, aren't we all in some way?
There you go. But we're making money for people. They're making money. They've been with us a long time. I don't know what I can say about it other than, people hear us on the radio for 2 or 3 years. They call, they come in, they say, I want to make a change. I don't want it all in stocks. They don't want to take the risks they were taking when they were younger. That's why they come to us, because of the risk factor and because it's just a life insurance policy. It's not anything weird. It's not anything far out. There's no purple people eaters in it, you know?
Oh, no.
You remember that song?
Yeah, Flying One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking about, yes. So this is just a conservative approach. Everybody's doing it now. The mutual fund companies are doing it. They're setting up funds to do this. So everybody's getting in it because they see it's very lucrative when you're doing life insurance policies. It's just so much safer than I think than doing all these things there's no guarantees on. But your principal is always safe. You're always going to get principal interest back. They're not going to tell you, well, we'll just give you 50 cents on the dollar. It doesn't happen. So it's a lot safer, I think, than a lot of other investments. We've been doing it a long time. And it was learn as you go.
Yeah.
We're still learning every day. Something that will make it better, something that makes it better for the clients, and that will make them more money.
Yeah, and you have made some really big improvements in the last, really several months with the new, not only the new doctors, but also the policies that you're looking at, all kinds of things that have been going on, switching over from to the new bank and things like that. A lot of things are really going on, so people are really thriving right now, which is really important, especially when we're in these uncertain times. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is uncertain times. It's better to know what you're going to make, to be diversified. You've got to be diversified, even with us. Anything that you put in just one policy is a mistake. You cannot do that. You've got to have a lot of policies in order to make this work. So I encourage people to come over, to talk to us, to try us if they like us. And if you like it, then, we'd love to have all of your money. But people like to do things different, and that's what makes this work. Every person we've got in this is a different personality, a different type of situation. Sometimes it's a husband and wife. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes they have two or three accounts. They'll have a joint account. They'll both have an IRA with us. And it depends what their age is as to what they're looking for, what kind of interest they're going to need, how much they've got to leave in cash. And a lot of people need some cash left in their account, to start taking in 2 or 3 years. So we ask all this up front. You know, how much cash do you have on hand? Do you need cash right away? Most people don't. Because remember, you've got to be accredited to do this. So you've got to either make $200,000 a year, or you've got to be worth $1 million without your home. So these are large investors. You know, these are not small investors. They can weather whatever comes because they have other money and they have emergency money.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it's all about. It's all about making money. That's what this is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, well, we're a little late, but normally around this time we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, it's something unusual.
All right.
Now, you think about when people want to relax, what do? Well, you and I know that they just they go through workshop. They'll go to the golf course for the day. They'll go fishing. They get out that boat and they head out and they go fishing. But something you and I haven't ever thought about. What if a person wants to go out and walk 64 miles?
You're right. I've never thought about that to relax.
I know you wouldn't. You and I would have never thought about it.
No.
We have all these trails in Texas. We have three great trails, and they're all, you know, in a state park or near a state park. There's a gentleman. Now, he's from the city. You know, he's not an old country boy. And I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I would say he's in very good shape. He went up here to the Caprock Canyon State Park by Canyon. And he started out, and he walked 64 miles point to point.
Wow.
Now, he started out in the cotton fields, which I would never have done that. And you know that's just flat, brown land up there. And he had to catch all of his water, avoid the burrs, and claw his way. He said his knees sometimes looked really bad. And you might think this trail, he said, isn't worth your time. But he said, now, here's what he deserved. All the animals at night. Now, you and I don't believe we'd ever be out at night on a trail with a bunch of wild animals, would we?
No way. We'll get eaten.
Okay. He saw coyotes. He saw owls. Those wild hogs in the panhandle. Deer, turkey, bobwhites, snakes, and then an abundance of Texas raptors. And then he passed through the Clarity Tunnel, which I've never heard of. And it's home to 500,000 Mexican free-tailed bats.
Really?
And he went through this tunnel. Now, you know, this is either a brave man or, you know, I won't say he's out of his mind. And he's a history buff. And he said the staff at Caprock Canyon State Park, they maintain the route. And what it follows is an old railroad track all the way. And then they've got signs along the way with the information about the old cattle drives, about the frontier, the settlements. And he would walk along. He'd read all this. And there was a lot of trailheads, depots that they've established all the way along this trail. So you can explore it as you go. But he said his favorite part of the whole hike. Now, he hiked 64 miles, people. He had to be in excellent, excellent shape. And by himself.
Oh, wow.
I find it a little scary out in the dark at night.
Yeah.
But then he came to Turkey, Texas. If you remember Turkey, Texas, it was a hangout of Bob Wills.
Really?
And, and they still have all the things there. They have music talent. On weekends, you can go there for a lot of great music. He did that. And, you know, this guy's from Dallas, Texas, I'll just tell you the truth. And he has walked on the South Plains. He's walked from the South Plains to Kittaquay, Texas. He's done Big Bend. I cannot imagine anybody I know being in good enough shape that they could do this.
No. Not even close.
And no. And everybody would think we were crazy.
Yes.
If we said, you know, we're fixing to go out here and we're going to hike 64 miles.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
They would just say, you've lost your mind and you probably won't even make it.
Yeah.
And the one that's called the Big Loop, it's for beginners. It's beginner level. It's only 23 miles.
Oh, that's all. Yeah, no problem.
And it starts at the Colorado Bend State Park. It's only 23. and now the Caprock Trail, starting at Canyon State Park, is for intermediate level. You got to have a little more knowledge and be a little tougher to do that one.
Wow.
And I just, you know, I, for the life of me, I can't imagine anyone that would go at night and day, all day and all night, and do this. He did Big Bend State Park, and we know how hard that is.
Yeah.
Big Bend National Park is the most remote place in our history. Hiking is hard there, and they call it bushwhacking because, you know, you climb 3,900 feet, if you remember, way above the Rio Grande. And there's not much foot traffic. I know people that have had to go back down the mountain. It is so grueling and so hard. But people love to do it. And they say it's very rewarding backpacking. I don't even believe that. And
no.
This guy has traveled over 1,000 miles of our state on foot.
Good Lord, that's a lot.
I just wanted you to know how good this guy is at backpacking.
Evidently.
I mean, most of us, the first 3 miles, and we would say, call a cab.
Yeah.
You know, call somebody, anybody. Call Saul, you know.
Yeah.
It's just me too tough. Oh, my gosh. But backpacking through Big Bend is only for somebody that's almost out of their mind. Not really, but almost, because it's the hardest thing. I know some people from Midland that went hiking out there one summer, and they almost didn't make it back.
Yeah.
It was so hard. And it's not for amateurs, let me tell you.
You know, I suppose if you're fit and you're experienced and that's kind of like your thing, I can see how that could be relaxing for somebody like that. For you and I and anybody I pretty much know, not so much.
I just can't imagine. But now, if you want to be lean and mean and live a long time, this hiking would probably be wonderful. If you survive it, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first thing you got to do is survive this trip. But I could not imagine going day and night and being out alone with all these wild animals.
I can't either. If you go and do this and you survive,
that's what I thought.
Do you get a certificate? Or a trophy or something, a ribbon, anything?
I don't know. I would have my cell phone at all times plugged in, ready to go, where I could call for a helicopter and say, you know, I'm here, I'm lost, come get me. It was a bad idea. But, you know, there's people that need to get away. So that was my thought today.
Yeah.
If you really, really need to get away and you're in great shape, this would be a great deal. Go out hiking for a few days and see nature, communicate, and, you know, just be yourself. Think up some great ideas. And if you come back, your feet are bruised and burned, you know, well, you'll know that this is not for you.
Well, you make it sound so appealing.
Yeah, because, you know, all that time I would be thinking about hamburgers and apple pie.
Oh,
yeah, I'd be thinking, how do I get to the first restaurant and sit down?
Yeah.
You know, I just can't imagine. But I was thinking about things that men like to do, and I don't know how many of them could even do this.
Oh, no.
You'd have to be in the best shape of your life to do it.
Yeah. It's great to get out and connect with nature.
It'd be a great accomplishment if a person could go and say, look what I did. I mean, I actually did this trail with my backpack and nothing else, just a little backpack, and here I am on the trail and getting water from different places and seeing nature. Now, it would be a great sight to see all the animals and to say you survived it, but you just have to be in awfully good shape. And I know very few men that could do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good with, you know, taking a little walk, a little stroll in the afternoon, even, you know, something simple.
You're doing a little stroll, yeah.
But this is not for a casual.
If a guy just, hey, let me tell you something. If a guy ever took his wife on this, she would probably divorce him.
Oh, yeah.
They would probably say, you know, how could you have done this to me? You know, I'm scared. It's nighttime. You know, I can hear the cows howling. You know, I can hear those old hogs rustling. Get me out of here.
That is not a date night activity, that's for sure.
It's not a date night activity. And you're not going to lay down under the stars and, you know, have sweet dreams. I don't believe that.
No. But boy, that does sound cool if you're into it, though, and you can handle it. And you're I would be drawn to the easy one. And I'm not sure I could even do that.
Well, it's only 22 miles.
Yeah, sure. That's all. It's just no biggie.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it says it's a beginner level. and besides that, it has some best public swimming opportunities in Texas. You've got the Colorado River. You've got the Hill Country Heat. Oh yeah, can you imagine?
Wow! All right.
And there's on that one. There's 400 caves that you can go in.
Jeez, that's a lot. That's cool. That would be really cool, though. If you can do it, it'd be something to see that not a lot of people actually get a chance to do or to conquer. That's for sure.
That's right. I mean, men love to conquer things.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought about this morning. I said, you know, for the man that really wants to get away, that needs some time to himself, and, you know, you've got to survive it. So, you know, you would be busy during that time, you know, seeing if you can make it.
Yeah, and try not to go mad at the same time.
That's right, and not to call for help.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make it, not call for help, you know, you've got it made.
Oh, wow, no doubt. Definitely on the list of things if you're a survivalist, that's for sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Wow. All right, before we wrap up, I know you always like to go over the three big risks with a life insurance policy and with a life settlement type of investment. So what is the first risk that people need to know?
The greatest risk is it can go over. You have to be prepared for it. When we send you the contract, if you're going in a new policy, look and see, what is the premium? What's it going to cost me? Always know everything about your policy. So the biggest risk, if it goes over, can you pay it? If you can't, you shouldn't be in this anyway, because this is for sophisticated investors that can pay a premium when it comes due. If you're not, you shouldn't be in it. That's the biggest risk. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures. It is not liquid during that time. And all of our people, being sophisticated, accredited, they know that. And they know that you can't just take the money out in midstream. The third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. If one went under, it would take you longer to get your money. But we haven't had one go in years. And now they're all worth billions and billions. So really, you don't have to worry about that. So that's the main things you should always know about your policies. And the other thing is just, you know, take the opportunity to come in and to do it and have more than one policy. Have a lot of policies. Be diversified. That's the secret.
Yeah. Diversifying is always the key to any successful investing. That's for sure. I assume you have appointments available this coming weekend to talk to people. Yes.
That's right. We will be talking to people. We'll be putting people in policies. We will be taking new accounts all week long. So that's what we'll be doing this week.
Cool. And one last time, Faye, for people to call and make an appointment, come see you, get started, talk about some making some money. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.